quick Scott's bummed about the humidor. And pick your milk for breakfast cereal, Mount Rushmore. They'll be there for you. There's a non-zero chance. They'll be there for you. Help you with lead dominance. They'll be there for you. And read some emails too.
Happy Hump Day, everybody. Apparently, it is Team Name Wednesday because Scott White is coming at you with a big-time team name in about 20 seconds. I am Adam Azer with Chris Towers, but we don't care because Scott White has a relevant team name, doesn't he,
Scott?
Oh,
you built it up too much. This was just
it's the best team. Ranting. It's honestly the best team name I've ever heard.
Lucchese at the bat.
Lucchese at the bat. Yes. Mic drop.
I don't know what that noise was.
For Scott White. Welcome, everybody. Adam, Scott, and Chris. Chris, again from home with his dog. Your dog doesn't bark in the background. It's nice.
I'm worried he might at some point because there's construction going on next door. And if he hears something that sounds like a door, he's definitely going to bark. So just be warned.
It looks like a dog with like an ear piercing bark, too.
Yeah, you know,
he's got a big, he doesn't bark often, but when he does, he barks big.
We should have a little bet here. Like, if he barks, if he barks, I win. If he doesn't bark, Scott wins. We have to figure out what the terms are. So,
okay.
Yeah. Gentlemen's bet.
Why do I have I didn't choose a side here. You're just assigning it to me.
I'll let you choose. Bark or no bark.
Bark.
All right. All right, that dog better shut up then, because Scott is taking bark. So, Lucchese and Hyunjin Ryu, both about 30% owned, both coming off 8 strikeout over 6 innings starts with no earned runs. Lucchese, 2 unearned runs. We'll talk about them. Aaron Sanchez flirted with a no-hitter. We got to talk about Scott Kingery. We got to talk about the first baseman that leads all first basemen in steals. It's not Paul Goldschmidt. Deep league stuff, bullpen stuff, and grade the trade a lot more than that. Oh, Worryometer Wednesday with Keuchel, McMiggy, Edwin Encarnacion, George Springer, etc. But grade the trade later on in the show at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Grade the trade is a Wednesday staple, and I have decided to do a new teacher-themed theme song for every grade the trade. I will be trying to do that for the rest of the season. So that's 25 more, which could be tough. But I got one ready to go for today. All right, let's go to the standouts. So I think it's an easy question, but they are both owned in 30% of leagues. Who would you rather have? Joey Lucchese at the bat or Hyunjin Ryu from Street Fighter?
Lucchese's an easy call. If not just for the fact that he's young and more exciting and has a little bit of prospect hype behind him, and Hyunjin Ryu has been around forever. Also, what they did last night, Lucchese was more impressive. He did that. He went into Coors Field, threw 6 good innings, no earned runs on 82 pitches with, 16 swinging strikes?
Yeah,
16.
And he did that in Coors Field, and he did that primarily as a fastball, curveball guy. That's really impressive. For whatever reason, he is just hard to pick up.
Yeah, well, and that's a weird pitch. That curveball, it's like I've heard it described as like a curve because it's like a changeup curve. And yeah, I mean, his minor league numbers were phenomenal last year. You could see why he didn't get a lot of prospect hype because he doesn't throw especially hard. But like I am fully on board now after dominating the Rockies in back-to-back outings, most recently Coors Fields. He is must add.
I guess the only thing I can find negative to say about Lucchese is that he hasn't thrown more than 84 pitches in any start, and that's with pitching well each of the last 2 starts, but I don't care. That could obviously change. So where is he with the other pitchers that we've added so far? Where's Lucchese with Tyler Skaggs, with Mike Foltynewicz? They both pitched last night.
Ahead of those two for me.
Yeah?
Yep, ahead of them. I'd rather have Jake Junis. Okay. Because I liked Jake Junis a lot coming into the year, and he's obviously done nothing to shatter that trust, but they're on about the same level.
All right.
I agree with that, yeah.
Interesting. Well,
I think Sean Newcomb's probably a tier ahead of him in terms of the guys that we've been talking about lately, but I think he's right in the next tier.
Would you drop Faria for Lucchese?
Sure.
Scott?
Because, like, Farias was the guy doing Lucchesi things last year, right? I think, you know, if that was what it took to get Lucchesi on my roster, I think I'd do it. I'm not anxious to drop Faria, though, just to be clear.
Okay. And how about Ryu, guys? He's 30% owned. You want to hear Team Scam Infighting? This edition of Team Scam Infighting. I picked up Hyunjin Ryu. We had a free roster spot, so I picked up Ryu in the 16-team league. And, you know, whatever, no big deal. I don't know why he was on waivers. Well, I guess I do know. But he's not that great. And then there was somebody that we wanted to pick up that got dropped. I think it was Barnes, who we're not interested in picking up anymore. And Scott wanted to drop Ryu. And I wanted
Why are we not interested in picking up Jacob Barnes?
Dude, he blew another save yesterday. What's the point?
He didn't allow a hit.
I'm not dropping Ryu for him.
I mean, look at the starters we have. When is Ryu ever going to break our lineup?
When there's an injury. 16-team league. You can't be letting a guy like Hyunjin Ryu. Hyunjin Ryu is reliable. So Scott would rather keep Jamer Candelario, and I would rather keep Hyunjin Ryu.
Yeah, it's an OBP league.
Candelario is a good OBP guy.
Whatever.
I would probably rather have Ryu than Barnes.
Barnes could very well be the Brewers' closer for the next 2 months. You know, like there's
every
Albers blew the save yesterday or 2 days ago,
yeah,
right?
But he said Barnes has now had two opportunities, and he blew both of them.
Yeah, and Albers probably available yesterday.
Like it was an inherited runner that scored, right? That was the blown save.
I believe
an inherited
so.
Runner to
he
score?
Walked two. He walked two and two thirds of an inning, though.
Yeah,
and he just hasn't shown it in the role yet.
But Scott, somebody has to close.
Scott, go pick him up, but don't drop Ryu. Do not even think about dropping Ryu.
Ryu's our worst player.
No, Candelario's our worst player.
I mean, Ryu had a .474.
This is riveting, fellas. Yeah.
Okay,
this is just
very
absolutely.
Few innings.
Team scam infighting. Ryu's 30% owned. He had a great start against the A's. I guess nobody's all that excited to pick him up. And the A's are not, they weren't good against lefties last year. They had the sixth lowest OPS against lefties, and they so far have the second lowest OPS against lefties, probably down from where it was yesterday before the start. But maybe it was just a good matchup for Ryu. Aaron Sanchez, 8 innings, 1 run, 5 walks, but 4 strikeouts, so that's not good. 11 walks, 13 strikeouts on the season. What do you think about Aaron Sanchez right now? Would you be putting out some trade offers to get rid of him? As in sell high?
I think about it. I don't feel like we haven't seen Aaron Sanchez from 2 years ago yet. And what I mean by that isn't just results-wise. I mean, like, he's not pitching like he did 2 years ago. He threw like 50% changeups in this start, and that was a pitch he hardly featured 2 years ago. Like, if he has that much confidence in the changeup, it's ultimately a positive development. It's, you know, he throws hard. He has a great sinker. At his best, he's one of the best ground ball pitchers in baseball, but he didn't get a lot of ground balls yesterday. And obviously the walks were high in a way that we don't necessarily expect going forward either. So I don't know exactly what to make of this. I mean, it is an opportunity to sell high, I guess, but I still see him as like a top 50 pitcher at worst.
Yeah, the ground ball rate over the course of the three starts is still 55%, so that's still where you want it to be. The interesting thing for me when I look at him is throwing a changeup more should lead to more swings and misses, but he might not have to sacrifice too much ground ball percentage by doing that, just because the changeup tends to be a pitch that you can get grounders with. And so that's an interesting development if he can continue throwing it for strikes. His swinging strike rate is up as well.
Okay, so that's Aaron Sanchez. Who would you rather have, Aaron Sanchez or Joey Lucchesi?
Sanchez.
Just checking.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, I want to drop Sanchez.
No. Well, but, okay, go ahead.
We've seen Sanchez do a full season Dallas Keuchel impersonation.
Yeah, he had a 3 ERA 2 years ago.
We have. I know Heath would say Lucchesi. So
Heath also
represent Heath here.
Lets me know that Joey Lucchesi has a higher swinging strike rate than Blake Snell and Robbie Ray so far. And wow. Snell's interesting. We'll talk about him. Last guy I want to talk about, then I'll turn it over to you guys, is Scott Kingery, 83% owned, 42% started, grand slam, and two strikeouts yesterday. So far, 258, two home runs. Numbers look a lot better after two recent homers, but so far, so good for Scott Kingery. And again, 83% owned. Should it be closer to 100% for Kingery?
You know, I actually dropped him as the guy who's highest on Kingery on this podcast. I actually dropped him in the podcast league. That's the 12th team head-to-head points league. So, you know, among the shallower leagues I play in. And it was just a roster crunch thing. Eduardo Rodriguez came off the DL, and I felt like having more capable starting pitchers was a bigger priority in this format. I wish I could still have Kingery because he's about to be triple eligible. He's a great guy to have on your bench in leagues like that where your bench, you want it to be primarily pitchers. So you could just slot, you know, him in at second, third, shortstop as needed. And maybe at some point he'll gain outfield too. But power speed wise, he's basically on pace for what I thought he was going to do. OPS near 900. Strikeout rate, not concerning in any way. He's doing about what I expected him to do.
Okay, great. Scott Kingery. Good stuff. All right, who else, guys? Who else stood out to you? Chris Towers. Big standout from yesterday's games.
So we'll talk about that Blake Snell start, but the thing that it reminded me of is Yoan Moncada cannot hit lefties yet. And it's weird because he's a switch hitter, but it's been a massive problem for him in the majors. He has like a 38% strikeout rate against lefties, and that's going to hold him back. I mean, he's been fine against right-handed pitchers, 794 OPS, but he's at 592 against lefties, and that trend was not as stark in the minors, but he was still worse against lefties. And it was on full display yesterday. He looked bad against Blake Snell.
Oh, boy. He's Moncada's frustrated. I mean, what are you supposed to do? I don't think you can drop him yet, right? You just got to wait it out?
No, I mean,
we talked about it yesterday. He's not stealing any bases.
In terms of fantasy potential, like, there's not that much difference between what we think Ronald Acuna could be and what we think Yoan Moncada could be. Like, the upside is that high.
Okay, but
one
of them
is just a tough player to figure out.
One of them keeps failing, and he's not stealing.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's, I'm not saying I would drop Moncada for Acuna if I had to.
Right.
It's just that's the upside based on what we've seen, the prospect profile, what he was in the minors, but it's just, for whatever reason, he can't put it together, or he hasn't been able to put it together yet. And the sample size is still relatively small, 300 plate appearances total in the majors. But that just stuck out to me, and I had to look it up again because I looked it up before the season, his splits going back to the minors and then in the majors. And it's just, he looks bad against lefties.
I would contrast him with Acuna in the sense that Acuna kept getting better as he moved up the ladder last year, and Moncada kind of faded as he moved up to the point that,
faded to a certain extent.
The last year before his call up, the minor league numbers were just, for a top prospect like that, they were just kind of so-so.
Okay. Well, Scott, you got a standout from Tuesday's games?
So I want to talk about the two pitchers you mentioned earlier, who I said I prefer Lucchesi to both of them, but Tyler Skaggs and Mike Fultonevich. One I thought was more or less encouraging yesterday, the other not so much. Part of what got me excited about Fultonevich after that second start was him throwing a changeup 20% of the time and having good success with it. He's a pitcher who I felt for a while now is a changeup away. Well, in this most recent start, very same matchup, he only threw a changeup 11.5% of the time, and it's not like he got crushed or anything, but it wasn't a particularly impressive start. So he's still kind of fringy, I think, in mixed leagues. But Tyler Skaggs, he's been inefficient the last two starts. This start was the first one where he struggled with walks, but a lot of pitches in the last two. But a lot of swinging strikes in all three of his starts. And just seems like stuff-wise, he's arrived. And while there may be some frustrations with innings and wins, I feel like he's too talented to leave on the waiver wire. And there's a good chance he fully breaks through this year and does start throwing more strikes and pitching more innings and is one of the biggest breakout pitchers this year. I at least see the potential for that. So he'd be the one I prioritized of those two right now, Skaggs over Fultonevich, even though I'm putting him behind Lucchesi.
Okay, so Tyler Skaggs over Fultonevich for Scott right now. They're both owned in 78% of leagues.
Yeah. That feels too high for Fultonevich.
Two starts, I think, right?
Yeah, velocity is fun, but I can't help but feel like he's just like Andrew Cashner, where we keep waiting for him to put it all together, and it just never actually happens.
Yeah. By the way, is it happening for Cashner?
No.
Cashner with another good start.
I don't think so. Like, there was some talk about him working, I think, with Dylan Bundy, actually, on a slider. A pitch he's been missing since the days where he got a decent number of strikeouts, but he hasn't really thrown it that much. And even though the strikeouts have been up, he hasn't been getting a lot of swinging strikes. It looks like a fantasy fake out to me.
I as a Skaggs owner in like three leagues, I picked him up after his first start and really nobody else did. It might've been a night start. Like Lucchesi, if he had pitched in the day, I feel like his ownership would be higher it'll probably be higher tomorrow. But I was able to sneak in Lucchesi in two leagues last night and pick him up. And Skaggs I picked up after his first start of the season. I like him. I love the stuff. I've been watching his starts. His curveball is really good, and his curveball isn't at peak performance yet because it's been very hard to hit over the last two seasons. Yesterday they showed a stat on the broadcast that opponents were hitting really well off the curveball. That might be down now after last night's start, but I guess he just hasn't really had it yet. It will get better. But this was a good matchup for him. I think the Rangers are going to struggle against lefties, at least until Adrian Beltre snaps out of it. They didn't have Odor, obviously, even though he's not so great. He's also faced Cleveland, and they are the worst hitting team in baseball right now, believe it or not. So I think with Skaggs, it's like I'm not looking. Look, if he has that huge breakout, great. Even if he doesn't, he's still going to be worth the roster add. You know, he's going to be worth owning. I think with a lot of these fringy starting pitchers, like, they're going to have bad starts. I don't want to be adding them, dropping them, just shuttling them in and out of on my roster all year. Like, I don't want to go crazy. So I'm buying into Skaggs, at least in terms of, let's see where I'm not going to drop him if he has a bad start next time. But Fultonevich, yeah, like Scott, he's just been too inconsistent throughout his career, and he's just fooled us too many times. So I needed to see more before I bought in. As Chris said, the ownership just seemed way too high on Fultonevich at 78.
I mean, but part of that is, like, if that was the breakthrough for Fultonevich, if he did develop this changeup that was going to round his arsenal out finally, like, if you didn't pick him up, then you were going to miss out on that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's fine. Like, I don't know. I don't mind the, all right, let's pick him up and see where this goes next time out. I didn't like where it went. Let's see who else is out there. Oh, Lucchesi. Let's swap him out for Lucchesi. Like, I don't mind that if it's...
Right, but there's an opportunity cost when you're picking up a guy with 400 career innings in the majors because you think that might be the breakout. You might have missed Tyler Skaggs. You might have missed
Sean Newcomb.
You might have missed Joey Lucchesi.
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't have held on to Fultonevich over any of those guys at the time, is the thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's usually roster spots
80...
to play with.
But he's 80% owned. There has to be. Like, that's something that happened to somebody.
Well, I think he's a two-star pitcher this week, right, Fultonevich?
He was. I can't remember. He may have been one that changed on Sunday.
Also, his minor league numbers are bad. Get him out of here. Right, yeah. Let's stop talking about Mike Fultonevich.
Yeah, let's stop talking about him.
This isn't talking chop.
Let's get to the big news. Nick Senzel could be called up in 2 days without the Reds losing a year of control. Wait, last thing on Fultonevich. As Scott mentioned, it really wasn't that bad of a start yesterday. Like, maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh on him. He faced the Nationals for the second time this year, and he only gave up two earned runs in five innings. So I know the strikeouts weren't there, but like, he has a 2.93 ERA, five walks, 18 strikeouts, and 15 and a third. Maybe I'm overreacting a little bit.
He is a former CBS law procedural.
What?
Am I getting the details on that right? He's a JAG. That was a show, right?
Yeah, it was a show.
That was a show, yeah.
Just the guy. He's a JAG. All right, Nick Senzel.
I don't think that's what it stood for on the show.
Nick Senzel of the Reds can be called up in a couple of days without the Reds losing a year of control. How interested are you in picking up Nick Senzel?
He played third base in the AAA game, I believe, yesterday. So that seems to be a good sign for his chances to be the Eugenio Suarez replacement. I'm very
excited. he had been the second baseman prior to that. So that that was C. Trent Rosencrans, one of the Reds beat writers, was speculating that meant.
You just like saying that name.
Yeah, but I think
I actually know him.
I think
so
he said it wrong.
He used to be a CBS baseball writer.
Well, you messed his name up, Scott. You owe him an apology.
What did I say?
C. Trent. What did you say?
Well, what is it? I don't want to say it again.
Rosencrans. There's no N in there. Just C. Trent Rosencrans. Yes, he's a good guy.
I didn't put an N in there. I said Rosencrans.
Oh, okay. Okay, my bad.
No, I guess it's wrong. It's just Rosencrans.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Senzel is 48% owned. Must add, if he gets called up, which probably
that's
will.
A little strong. I mean, he didn't
if
have
Scott
a great
Kingery,
spring.
If Scott Kingery was a must add, Nick Senzel is a must add.
Well, but was Scott Kingery a must add? Because I just dropped him in a league.
I think he was very much viewed as a must add when we found out he was being called up.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. I mean, in our Memorial Magazine League, which is 360 players rostered, I couldn't figure out who to drop for Senzel. Like, it would be somebody like Cole Calhoun.
Yes.
Or Jesse Winker. Or either of the Brewers guys. I kind of want to try and corner that situation because I'm short on saves. So.
Oh, it's Albers, isn't you here?
So I've just had to leave him out there in a league that's, you know, fairly deep for a mixed league. So I can't. If I couldn't add him even in that league, I don't know how I could call a must add. Now, obviously, a very exciting prospect, but, you know, didn't have a very good spring, isn't off to a good start in the minors. It would be a short-term stay unless he just, you know, is awesome. So, obviously, there's no downside to picking up somebody of that talent level. It could be a Cody Bellinger situation where we thought it was going to be a short stay for him last year, and look what happens. Mm-hmm. But
well, so it might not. It's like 4 to 6 weeks for Suarez, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at that point, anything can happen.
Of course. Yep. All right. We've already seen Senzel can play second base, shortstop. So.
All right. Nick Senzel.
Yeah, I mean, it could be exciting.
48% owned. Johnny Cueto's on the DL with an ankle injury. Could just be the minimum stay there for him. Charlie Blackman was scratched with quad tightness. So now Blackman has back and quad issues. And Noah Syndergaard, I think I briefly mentioned this yesterday, but probably should have mentioned it more for a guy who's always injured. He had two blisters on his hand in Monday's start. So between Blackman with the quad and back issues and Syndergaard with two blisters on his hand on Monday, and he downplayed it, said it was no big deal, but we know blisters can be a big deal. Are you concerned right now with Blackman or Syndergaard?
No, I'm not concerned right now.
Okay, moving on. Yoenis Cespedes has been battling illness. He was in a 1-for-21 slump with 13 strikeouts, but it's starting to feel better. Get well soon. We wish you would get well, whatever they say. Shohei Ohtani is going to DH today against a lefty. That'll be the first time he starts against a lefty, and he will pitch on Sunday. So they gave him a full week off. He'll pitch on Sunday after starting. That brilliant start was on Sunday. Adam Eaton has a bone bruise in his ankle, is likely to go on the DL and sink all of my teams this week because I started him. It could be a minimum stay for Adam Eaton, but a rough start for him. Brian Goodwin should get more playing time this week. Will Myers will not come off the DL when he's first eligible. It shouldn't be much longer for Myers, but won't be back when first eligible. Rougned Odor is expected to miss 3 weeks. Jurickson Profar batted second for the Rangers. Are you adding Profar anywhere?
No. AL only.
AL only.
Drew Pomeroy.
But I want to watch him. Oh, I want to see if something can happen there.
Drew Pomeranz could be back next week for Boston. Ian Kinsler expected to return tomorrow. Irvin Santana has been cleared to throw. And Washington outfield prospect Victor Robles, a great prospect, has a hyperextended elbow and will be reevaluated next week. So he's got to be less stashable now, right, Scott? Victor Robles?
Doesn't seem like he'll be up as soon to replace Michael Taylor as hoped with this news. Yes. Yeah. Though Michael Taylor is certainly doing his part, not hitting a lick. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I actually did drop him in that Memorial Magazine League just because I needed to pick someone up.
Nick Senzel?
Robles.
I dropped Victor Robles to pick up Dansby Swanson.
You should have picked up Nick Senzel.
Senzel?
Well, you know what?
Yeah, you should have.
I'm
going
to do
right.
it. Somebody needs to do it.
I'm going to do it right now. I got some crap on my team. Senzel, you will be mine. Oh, yes.
Sounds like you said Denzel.
Senzel Washington,
what kind of fab are you looking to put in, Scott or Adam?
I mean, am I supposed to tell you?
Yes, that's the point. That's supposed to be helpful to our audience.
That seems counterproductive. Adam,
I think you should give our audience an idea of what kind of fab bid this guy's worth.
Okay, fine. I will. I will say that out of a $100 budget, I have like 83 left, 82. Uh-huh. I'm going to bid $0. So I think you're fine to just bid one. And you'll get him at one.
All right.
That's just a joke.
I mean, if nobody picked him up last night, you could maybe get away with it.
I know. I should have thought.
Then again, he's probably going to be the lead of the prospects report today. So if I have any pull in the way people manage their rosters, maybe not.
Okay. Well, we will
wrap it up, B.
Yeah, let's move on. Wrap it up, B. Stat of the day. Hanley Ramirez leads all first basemen with 3 steals. He stole another one. He's 85% owned. Hanley's the number 4 first baseman in points, number 1 in Roto. Do you buy Hanley Ramirez, who last year was hot garbage, but the year before was the number 9 first baseman in fantasy with a .286 batting average and 30 homers in 147 games?
I mean, he said back in February he wanted to be a 30-30 player this year, and as I've said before, many times, stolen bases are largely a matter of desire, how willing you are to actually run. So he's following through on it, which is great news. I mean, I think he needs to be owned if he's doing, certainly in any categories league, what kind of start he's off to, both as a hitter and a base runner. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he is owned. Hanley's 85% owned, so it's, I guess, a matter of, who would you rather have? I'll
he
throw
was
out
hardly
some names.
Drafted, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, he's been picked up. Hanley or Justin Smoke?
Smoke.
I mean, Smoke's off to a good start too. So yeah, I got to stick with Smoke there.
Hanley or Eric Thames?
Hanley.
Hanley or Matt Olson?
Matt Olson.
Yeah, Olson, but he's got to start hitting.
Hanley or Jose Martinez?
Hanley.
I will take Jose Martinez.
It's a little risky to buy into Hanley, isn't it? I mean, he is 34, and he's had...
You're 34.
I will be soon.
I mean, the main thing with Hanley is just like, can he maintain this level of focus and this level of health for a full 6 months? And I have my doubts about that, but he certainly looks like good Hanley right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, He's 34, but he's healthy right now. He's playing first base. He's batting third for the Red Sox. He was definitely one of my favorite sleepers coming into the season.
All right, I'm going to take a look at deep leagues here. I'm going to give you some names. You tell me if you're interested in picking any of them up. They are owned in less than 20% of leagues. 3 hitters, Joe Mauer, Malik Smith, and Curtis Granderson. Joe Mauer, Malik Smith, and Curtis Granderson. Keep in mind with Malik Smith, I don't know if this matters, but Kevin Kiermaier expected to play today.
Mauer should probably be owned in on-base percentage leagues. Malik Smith should probably be owned in roto leagues. And Granderson is fine. I own him in one 15-team league where I needed to fill an outfield spot late, and he was there.
The thing about Mauer, like if it's a roto on-base percentage league where you got corner infield, first base, utility, you know, the bigger lineups, maybe. But like if it's a standard points league, you're not going to be able to get far enough down at first base to own him as good as he is as a walker.
Yeah. Mauer was the number 22 first baseman in points last year, number 29 in Roto. He played 141 games and batted .305, but only 7 home runs. How about the pitchers that are owned in less than 20% of leagues? Andrew Cashner, another really good start. 7 scoreless innings against the Blue Jays with 6 strikeouts, .250 ERA so far. Homer Bailey had a good start at Philadelphia. Very good. Matt Boyd was pretty good at Cleveland. Tyler Anderson, really good at home against the Padres. Josh Tomlin, 5 scoreless against Detroit. Brent Suter was okay against the Cardinals. Caleb Smith struck out 7 Mets. He has 19 strikeouts, but also 10 walks and 13 and a third. So a lot of names. Andrew Kashner, Homer Bailey, Matt Boyd, Tyler Anderson, Josh Tomlin, Brent Suter, Caleb Smith. Who are your 2 or 3 favorites there?
Like, I'd probably rank them maybe exactly as you have the top 4 here. Kashner, Bailey, Boyd, Anderson. Those are really the only ones I'm interested in. But the interest is mild. Like, I just poo-pooed Kashner earlier, and he's the one I rank first of those 4. Like, Bailey in particular is off to a really weird start because 2 of his first 3 starts have been great. Not getting any swinging strikes, and his velocity is actually down like 3 miles per hour. So I don't, like, you know, a guy with 2 no-hitters on his resume obviously has upside. Is he really showing us that upside just because he's pitched well? I have my doubts about that.
Boyd is probably number 1 for me just because he's young. It's not a ringing endorsement.
But we don't have any the next Joey Lucchesis in this group.
I would guess not.
Right.
Caleb Smith might be the Marlins' best starter.
You think he's going to strike out 100 guys, Chris? That was your bold prediction, was that they wouldn't have any.
I mean, he's well on his way.
Yeah, about that. Bullpen, I'll give you a name. You give me a reaction. Jacob Barnes, blew a save. We already talked about this. We still don't know. Heath and Chris and I kind of think it's Albers. Scott's kind of hedging.
I mean, if you play in a league where there are no saves on the waiver wire, you got to hold on to him.
I'll say this. Albers will get the next save opportunity.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there.
You got to hold on to Albers, too.
Okay, and Kenley Jansen got a save. 2-out save yesterday. Quick reaction.
Seems fine.
Seems fine. Works for me. Brad Ziegler gave up a run, took a loss in a non-save situation.
So I'd be worried about him losing his job, but Kyle Bearclaw was terrible the inning before. He even worse than Ziegler was in the 9th. So I don't know that there's, like, Drew Steckenrider's there, too, and is off to a decent start. Like, I feel like it's a situation. Marlins obviously not going to win a lot of games. They don't have a great closing option. Like, there are probably some setup men I'd rather have than Ziegler.
Right, because his ratios aren't even good.
Yeah.
Hunter Strickland gave up a run, first blown save of the season.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
It's fine.
Alex Colome, he's just been terrible. He's an 11.25 ERA. He got the save, but he gave up a home run. He's got 3 saves and 5 chances. 4 walks, 1 strikeout, and 4 innings for Alex Colome.
Yeah, only 1 strikeout, like you said. After a year where the strikeouts evaporated on him, averaged less than 8 per 9 as a closer in today's game, that never happens. It's a little scary. It's a little scary. And it's hard to make sense of because his velocity is still what it was 2 years ago when he had the really good season. But he's I don't know. It looks like he's not throwing his fastball enough to me.
This is what happens with relievers. Like, that sometimes they just lose it. Sometimes 1 year is just a mirage. That this is the risk when we invest heavily in relievers after 1 good season.
I'm going to tell you why this is actually a good thing for Alex Colome, that he's been so bad.
Tell me.
He's killing his trade value.
That's a good point.
Right?
That's some galactic brain stuff.
I mean, he was one of the most likely closers to get traded. As you know, they're tanking. What are they going to get for him at this point? He might stay the closer.
Can't lose your closer's job if you pitch too poorly to get traded.
Exactly.
And here's the other thing. Like, who would replace him? Sergio Romo, maybe? Like, they don't have... There's not, like, this obvious guy in waiting.
There's a guy who throws hard. I said his name on yesterday's podcast. Now I can't remember it.
Okay, and Ryan Matson got the save yesterday instead of Sean Doolittle. It was a 4-run game in the 9th. Sammy Solis started it for the Nationals. He gave up a run. Matson came in and got the final outs. Doolittle had pitched Saturday and Sunday, but not Monday. Maybe they're just being cautious with him. He's had arm issues in the past. What do you make of that, Chris? Ryan Matson with the 2-out save.
I don't think there's anything there. Sean Doolittle's probably not someone who's going to work like 3 times in 4 days too often, so I would guess it's just a workload management thing.
And Roberto Osuna is the youngest player ever to reach 100 saves. He's 23 years old. And Edwin Diaz, my goodness, only 3 saves, hadn't pitched in a while. But 4 innings, he has not given up a hit or a walk. He has hit at least 1 batter. He has not
remember
given up
how
a
rough
run.
He was on the first, I think he hit 2 batters in the first outing.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. But four scoreless innings, no walks, 11 strikeouts so far for Edwin Diaz. You're not going to be putting Edwin Diaz in your draft lineups, but you are going to have a hell of a lot of fun on the draft app, as I am having every single day, multiple contests a day for me. Yeah, yesterday I went 0-2. Against the listeners, I came in third place out of five. Dallas Keuchel did me in there. I had Keuchel, Altuve, Eric Hosmer, Mike Trout, and Rhys Hoskins, who scored 0 points, Rhys Hoskins. So, yeah, I did not win. But also lost on the sports line. Was second out of three there. But anyway, I'm having so much fun. You do snake drafts on the draft app. And what you're going to do is you're going to download the draft app or go to draft.com and play some daily fantasy baseball with a great chance to win some money. And the contest started just $1. There's a draft out there for everyone. When you make your first deposit on draft, use the promo code FB today. So you'll play in a real money game for free if you use the promo code FB today when you make your first deposit. I really think you're going to love it. There's no reason why you wouldn't. You love doing drafts, and you love playing fantasy baseball. The drafts take just a few minutes. I mean, it's really quick. You draft five players. You can do expert mode where you can remove the best players and make it a little bit harder. You can draft with nine people. You can draft with one person head-to-head. Whatever you want to do. And again, you can play for free if you want, but the drafts also, they start at just $1, so you can make some money. Download the draft app or go to draft.com. And enter the promo code FB today. Our listeners get into a real money draft when you make it for free, when you make your first deposit, and use that code FB today. All right, Worryometer
Wednesday.
What's the
dog update, Chris? What's the dog update? Is there?
He's
just laying there.
Just laying on the bed.
The construction workers leave. Am I going to win this competition?
I'm worried because they have to come paint my room.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm worried that they're going to knock. I don't know if my wife told them to wait until 10:30.
There's still a chance. The next half hour. I hope she didn't.
Okay, now it's time for Worryometer Wednesday. 0-10 on the Worryometer. Dallas Keuchel has walked 9 batters in 15 innings, and the Twins had the perfect blueprint against him yesterday. They just were laying off all those pitches down in the zone, and he wasn't getting the calls, and they were not strikes. So Keuchel, Worryometer. He's got a 4.20 ERA, 9 walks, 13 strikeouts, and 15 innings.
I mean, like a 2 for me.
He doesn't throw the ball in the zone. That's kind of his thing. So I think these kind of starts are going to happen eventually, but the track record of it not working is pretty limited. So I'm going to say 1.
For Dallas Keuchel. How about Miguel Cabrera? He does not have an extra base hit in his last 7 games. He is 4 for his last 23. And is now batting .243 with a home run on the season. Worryometer on Miguel Cabrera.
I was looking at the StatCast leaderboard yesterday. He is 2nd in the majors in exit velocity, average exit velocity.
Surprise. Tigers.
Well.
No, nah, it's good. It's good.
I don't know. Is it still messed up?
I don't know. I'm just messing around.
Okay, so the thing there was it never really seemed like there was anything wrong with the StatCast data. It was always the FanGraphs data, I think, I can't remember who they get theirs from, but that was where the hard hit data was where it seemed to be really wonky.
Oh, that's different than the exit velocity?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, Scott, I'm sorry, give me a number on Miguel Cabrera.
I will say 4.
5.
I think he's been in a lot of really cold weather. They've really cooled off.
Yeah, the Tigers have played in a lot of cool weather.
So, look, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. Not like he's got terrible plate discipline. Okay, so we're moderately concerned about Miggy. How about Edwin Encarnacion? 3 walks, 12 strikeouts, and a .158 batting average in 11 games.
Is it April 2017 all over again?
Yeah.
Or April 2016 or 2015.
You can't get worried about Edwin Encarnacion. I said this before the season. You can't get worried about Edwin Encarnacion probably until the end of May. And there's a chance that he's just lost it and you won't know. And he might just sink your season. That was always the risk with Edwin Encarnacion. But you can't. What are you going to do? You can't jump ship. You can't trade him. You just have to let him ride it out like last season.
Okay. So we're going to put him very low on the Worryometer. We don't even need a number. Gary Sanchez is batting .056 in 9 games with no walks and 6 strikeouts. Worryometer on Gary Sanchez.
0.
Worryometer on George Springer. He is batting .188 with a home run. No steals, 5 walks, 15 strikeouts, 3 doubles in 12 games. George Springer, where are you, Abner?
0.
1.
Marcell Ozuna has no walks and 15 strikeouts, and he's batting over 300. With no walks and 15 strikeouts in 11 games for Marcell Ozuna, wariometer on Marcell Ozuna.
I think clearly we undervalued the Marlins hitting coach last season.
Yeah.
Between him and Giancarlo Stanton, these guys are just done.
And Boer, Justin Boer. Oh, do they have the same hitting coach this year, or do they have a new one?
I have no idea. Boer hit a home run, though, yesterday.
They
he's fine.
Had two home runs.
Who was the Marlins hitting coach last year? It was Bonds 2 years ago, right?
I have no idea.
If you don't know, it's the Marlins fan.
That's a.
I mean, I had worries about Marcell Ozuna coming in, so I'm not going to say zero, but my worries haven't grown. I think he's actually first, the guy ahead of Miguel Cabrera on average exit velocity. So I'll say 2.
Okay. So no big concerns yet. And how about Joseph Gallo? Gallo went 0 for 4 yesterday. He's batted 5th, 5th, 6th, and 7th in his last 4 games against 2 righties and 2 lefties. Gallo's batting .208 with 3 home runs, 3 walks, and 13 strikeouts.
I'm a little worried about the batting order thing, but he's not getting sat, so I'll say a 1. Like, Joey Gallo's going to be streaky. He's still hitting for power. I'm fine with it.
I think Mike that's Pagliarulo,
the hitting coach,
is the Marlins hitting coach.
Yes.
I think that's the point with Gallo is that, you know, either you believe in him or you don't right now, but he's going to be streaky. So.
Right, and he's got like a sub-200 BABIP right now, and he's always going to be a low BABIP guy, but he's actually not striking out very much relative to him. So
he just needs to go on a homer binge.
Yeah, I have trouble getting worried about it when he's actually showing some improved skills.
Okay, how about this last one, 93% owned. We haven't talked about him. I don't think we've mentioned him much at all. Adam Duvall. Adam Duvall is 93% owned, and he's batting .111. And he's been, you know, like a top 25 outfielder each of the last 2 seasons with terrible second halves. He's usually a hot starter. But Adam Duvall, worryometer here.
I don't think there's much reason to own him in a points league. I think if you drafted him for power at a roto league, though, he's still going to come around with that. I mean, he has a very streaky profile also. Just a 2 true outcomes guy, basically.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't walk at all. And that's going to make it even hurt even more when he's slumping like he is now.
Yeah, 3 or 4. Just I guess there's a little extra worry in that outfield. If anyone goes on an extended slump, they could just lose playing time.
Maybe tomorrow I'll ask you who you're actually worried about, since it is so early and we can dismiss so much of it.
I wrote a bit about that yesterday, Adam.
Oh, okay, good. We'll check that out then. CBSSports.com/fantasy. Also, check out the Jonah Carey podcast. He sat down with New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who is a big Red Sox fan and refuses to go to Yankee Stadium. He asked him about a lot of stuff, some political stuff, but nothing controversial or anything like that. Like, for example, how it needs to be much easier to vote in the United States. And Jonah's Canadian, so I think, you know, they shared some insights there. Some New York City stuff, just a lot of really interesting stuff. And Jonah's very proud of this interview, and I think you should check it out. CBSSports.com/podcast if you want to look on how to subscribe, or just search for the Jonah Carey podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Let's read a few relevant emails. We still have Grade the Trade coming up. This is from Sam. Jacob Junis is available. Should I drop Tanner Roark for Junis?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's close enough that, yeah, I think if you're in a league where Jake Junis is still available, you could probably sneak Roark through, and if he heats up, you can maybe make a move for him later.
Curtis from Calgary, if you could discuss James Paxton and his slow start to the season, that'd be great.
The second start was good.
Yeah, it was good.
He got attacked by an eagle. Leave the man alone.
It's true. I think we're fine with Paxton, right?
Yeah,
well,
I'm not worried about it.
It's just such a small sample. Like, his first start was bad. His second start was good. I don't know what more you wanted to see from that second start.
Can you guys hear him?
He's barking?
The dog? He's barking?
He's making some noise. He hasn't let out a full bark yet.
Oh!
That was a big yawn.
That was a yawn?
Yeah, it was a big yawn.
So he's the type of mix that he is. Half of him is a boxer, and half of him is another dog that doesn't bark. They yodel.
I thought you
were gonna say he has weird vocalization things.
Yeah.
All right. Here's an email from Chris in Salt River Fields. On yesterday's podcast, you said you didn't know why Bradley got the save instead of Boxberger. That's because Terry Lovello deploys Bradley versus the other team's heart of the order whenever they come up in the 7th, 8th, or 9th. So 2 nights ago, Godley pitched 7 innings. Lovello likes to use Hirano versus the bottom of the order, so Hirano pitched the 8th, and then the top of the order came up in the 9th, and he went with Bradley. You will be seeing this all year long. Bradley will be facing the other team's most dangerous hitters.
So it's a little Andrew Miller.
On Andrew Miller got a save yesterday, too.
No, 2 days ago, I believe, right? And Allen got it yesterday, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant, 2 days ago. The same day Bradley got his save.
Yeah, except I think Allen was unavailable. Like this is, I think this is more...
I saw it as a situation where the ninth inning came and they hadn't used their best reliever yet, so let's use him.
Okay, well, this seems like, to me, it seems like the Diamondbacks could be giving more saves to Bradley than, I don't think it's a big deal either way, than the Indians would give to Miller. But I guess we'll see. Jeff from Iowa. How should I view Michael Franco? Has he finally come around, or is he just on a hot streak?
I would say hot streak. It doesn't help that he's losing playing time every third or fourth game to Kingery. I'm not getting excited about him, personally.
And now checking, just to go back to the closer thing. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't think Cody Allen had a workload issue at all when Miller got the save, because he pitched the day before, but that was it. You can pitch back-to-back. All right, and from AJ. Hey, Michael, Job, Buster, and George. I know them.
Sounds like Arrested Development.
Sure does. Who would you rather stash, Austin Hayes or Willie Calhoun?
Probably Hayes.
Yeah, I mean, a week ago I had Calhoun in the top 5 prospects to stash. The debut of the prospects report for this year had Calhoun and not Hayes. But we're so far into this DeShields injury now, and there have been no rumblings about Calhoun getting the call. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to lean Hayes.
Let's look at the double dongs from yesterday. Javi Baez, Justin Bour, and Asdrubal Cabrera. Baez, 88% owned. Bour, 62% owned. Asdrubal Cabrera, 49% owned. Scott White, what stood out to you with the double dongers?
I would say, first of all, Asdrubal Cabrera was in the top 10 sleeper hitters for this week. So.
Cool.
Woo!
There you go. You're welcome. He's off to a pretty good start. He's been kind of undervalued. Yeah, triple eligible. Made a lot of contact even before this 2-homer game. So I think he's pretty solid. Like, the problem is there's so much depth at all of those infield spots where he's eligible that, like, he's never going to be like a universally owned guy. I think people were a little too down on Bour the first couple weeks. He was actually available in one of my 15-team roto leagues last week. Actually, Tout War, my Tout Wars league. He was available in that. And so I put in a big form. I'm not sure if I won him or not, but it was ridiculous. I thought in a format that deep, somebody would drop Justin Bour. Hopefully this is the start of him getting hot.
Okay. Rotation stuff. Severino, bad. Nola, good. Snell, both. 5 walks, 10 strikeouts. Actually, Snell's walks have got to be discussed here. 10 walks and 15 innings.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really an issue until this start. And really, I think it was only an issue late in that start. I think he had like 1 or 2 walks going into the last inning.
I'd have to disagree, though. He had 3 walks and 3 1/3 at the Yankees.
That's one where, like, if he goes... Like, the issue there was he was getting hit hard by a team that hits the ball hard.
The issue was he walked 3 and 3 1/3. I mean, come on. It's an issue.
Sure. If he had pitched 2 more innings...
And like, he probably would have walked more batters.
Didn't walk a guy.
Right, but that's the thing, is that, like, it was such a short start that it's hard to take anything out of that. You can go 3 innings, walk 3 guys, and then end up with 3 walks over 6 innings. He had the opposite of that this start.
He didn't walk
that many early.
And actually, if he had only thrown 4 more innings in this start and thrown a complete game, he would have only walked 5.
Yeah. Well, I think what Chris is saying, like, it's hard to tell how walks are going to be distributed over a start. And if it was,
yes.
And it three is such a small number. It's just hard to know how exactly it would.
Right, like if it
out.
Was 5-3 1/3 innings, I would think that's bad.
All right, but if we just look at at 10 walks in 15 innings for a guy who had major, major control issues,
yeah.
I think it's a red flag for Snell.
Yeah, I think Chris's point is a valid one, but I think your point is a valid one too, Adam.
I agree. Both. Yes, valid.
Yeah, he showed improved control after returning from the minors last year. That hasn't carried over into this season. And it's a little concerning. At the same time,
his stuff looks
pretty close to unhittable.
Yeah, his stuff looks absolutely filthy right now. And that's why I'm not that concerned about it, because it's like he can't keep walking 10 batters every 15 innings. I don't think he will. And as long as the stuff looks as good as it does, I think he's before this start, I know he was the biggest velocity gainer from last April in the entire majors among all starting pitchers. He looks too good for me to be worried right now. Maybe that's a little confirmation bias because I liked him as a breakout candidate coming into the season, but I've come away so impressed by him, even if the results haven't necessarily been great.
All right, that's Snell. And Corbin didn't have his best start, but it still had a pretty darn good start. With 16 swinging strikes and 5 1/3. He had 5 scoreless innings, then ran into trouble in the 6th. So Corbin, Snell, Sean, Manaea, how do you rank them?
Snell, Corbin, Manaea. But all three should be owned everywhere.
Snell, Corbin, Manaea. And
I think Corbin might be close to passing Snell for me.
Okay.
Like I'm all about that Corbin.
Yeah, 4 walks, 29 strikeouts, and 18 1/3 for Corbin. And Scott, is there any reason why Tyler Chatwood and Felix Hernandez should be owned in 90% and 87% of leagues?
I was distracted by the squeaky gate noise that Chris's dog was making.
That was pretty distracting.
So I didn't hear what you said.
Tyler Chatwood is 90% owned. Felix Hernandez is 87% owned. Should they be that owned?
Definitely not, especially Felix.
All right. Time to grade some trades. I'll run through the rest of the notes. Aaron Hicks should be back tomorrow. Kevin Kiermaier today. Tim Anderson stole his 6th base. Alex Gordon's on the DL with a hip injury. Kendrys Morales on the DL with a hamstring strain. Expected to miss just 10 days. Wellington Castillo day-to-day with knee soreness. Doug Fister expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks for the Rangers. Lorenzo Cain is day-to-day. And Jose Martinez is day-to-day. And Jorge Alfaro left after being hit by a pitch on the elbow. Don't know much about history. Let's get those pencils and papers out. Let's grade some trades. Class is in session. This is such a great song, isn't it?
It's an oldie.
It's a great song.
Oldie but a goodie.
You guys, I hope you guys can name that movie.
No.
Food fight scene?
Oh, is that Animal House?
It is Animal House, you youngins.
Probably not the only movie that song was used in.
It's the only movie that counts. Scott, you've seen it.
SWIW.
Scott, are you older than I am? I always forget.
I am a couple months older than you are, yes.
Right. Oh, that's right. You just turned 34.
Senior citizens.
Chris is like 26 or something. And he's the CEO of the company. All right, grade the trade. Chris from Nashville gives up Lester and Clevinger, gets Darvish.
That seems like a C to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lester and Clevinger for Darvish, I would give that a C minus.
Ooh, I was going to go C+.
Much rather have the stud.
No, yeah.
He's getting the stud.
This is unbelievable. Scott White never knows.
Dang it,
F.
He never
knows. Dang it.
All right, so you give up Lester and Clevinger for Darvish. Scott says C+. I say C+. Chris says C.
You know what? I'm going to give it a B.
Okay, a B.
Because there's more wiggle room on the right side of C.
Aaron from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Give up Shohei Ohtani. Ooh. In a dynasty points league. Get Rizzo and Quintana. Give up Ohtani. Get Rizzo and Quintana.
That feels like an A+ to me.
Yeah.
I think it'd be an A if it was Rizzo.
I'll dock it that plus since it's a dynasty and, you know, those two players are older. But, yeah, really good trade.
from John. Give up Luis Castillo, get Clevinger and Snell. Give up Luis Castillo, get Clevinger and Snell.
I think that's a B. No.
It's a B minus.
B.
Yeah. I mean, you're losing the better player, but not by much.
And Ryan in Oklahoma is in a 10-team Roto Keeper League. OBP and quality starts. I would give up Aaron Nola, a 16th round pick next year, for Shohei Ohtani, a 6th round pick next year. And he can use Ohtani both as a hitter and a pitcher. So give up Nola for Ohtani, but much better value for Nola, 16th round keeper compared to Ohtani as a 6th round keeper.
Yeah, I think that's probably like a C minus. The fact that it's daily league, so you can use Ohtani in both, ups his value, but I don't think he's that much better than Nola as a pitcher to give up 10 rounds.
By the way, Nola went 8 innings yesterday.
Yeah.
Sure, over 100 pitches.
Kapler!
The third time. Gabe Kapler is softening.
Yeah, you figured he would at least with Nola.
He's scared.
The biggest
idiot
in the world.
Hey, this is from
what? That's what everybody in baseball is saying.
Oh, you're being
sarcastic. Y'all made me scared.
From Thomas, grade the trade. Give up AJ Pollock and Verlander. This is a tough one. I could not figure out if I like this one or not. Give up AJ Pollock, who's having a great start, and Verlander. Get JD Martinez and Madison Bumgarner to keeper league.
I think Bumgarner's better than Verlander, especially in a keeper league, and I think JD Martinez is better than AJ Pollock, so it's pretty easy for me.
Bumgarner's not going to pitch for a month and a half. How is he better than Verlander?
It's a keeper league.
All right, but for this year, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little tough. I'd still do it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're thinking long-term, you have to do it. I don't know exactly how many players are being kept there, though. If it's like 3 or 4 players being kept, I'm not
five.
Sure. The fact it's a keeper. Okay, 5. Still a lot of turnover in that league. I'm not sure you should use keeper considerations as the that should be driving your decision here. So I'm gonna prefer the Verlander side. I'm gonna give it a C. Wait, is that's who he was giving up?
Yeah,
C minus.
Yeah. C minus.
I remembered. I'm doing these hand motions to help me visualize it as you're saying it. It's helping.
You are.
This is from Bobby. Grade the trade. Scam, Kreeth, Kratom, and Screeth. 6x6, 2-keeper league. Give up Tanaka and Paxton. Give up Tanaka and Paxton. Get Kenley Jansen and Garrett Richards. Tanaka and Paxton for Jansen and Richards. That is a bad one.
D.
Yeah, that's a D.
Dirty D.
Ryan from Cleveland. Categories league. Give up Dansby Swanson and Berríos. For Lorenzo Cain and Gausman. Give up Swanson and Berríos. Get Lorenzo Cain and Kevin Gausman.
It's worth it for Cain. Like, I'll give it a B+.
Yeah, I think Dansby and Berríos for Cain would be fine. So, B.
Josh from Fresno. Grade the trade. 12-team Roto. I own Correa. I gave up Lindor for Garrett Cole and Jairus Familia. Gave up Lindor for Cole and Familia.
C minus.
He's looking for contextual extra credit by mentioning he has Correa. You know what? I'm high enough on Garrett Cole that I'll give that contextual extra credit.
Ooh.
I'll give him a B minus. How's that sound?
That is a good round of grade the trade. I'm just going to run through some questionable starters here. Tell me real quick, starter sit. Brandon McCarthy at the Nationals.
Sit.
Sit.
Kyle Gibson against the Astros.
Sit.
Yanni Chirinos at the White Sox.
Hey, Chris, is your dog sitting?
He's lying down.
Sit. Not very obedient. Not obedient at all.
Yanni Chirinos.
Was he going to stand up and then sit just because I'm saying sit?
An obedient
in the room?
Dog would.
He's a very good boy.
Yanni Chirinos. We got to go. Sorry, guys. Yanni Chirinos at
no
the
Chirinos.
White Sox.
No, sit.
No.
Danny
Chirinos.
Duffy. Danny Duffy at home against the Mariners.
No.
I might start him, but I'd rather not sit.
His velocity is down like 2 miles per hour right now. It's bad.
Luis Castillo and Nick Pivetta, Reds at Phillies. Luis Castillo and Pivetta.
Yes to Pivetta. I mean, sorry. Yes to Castillo. I want to see more from Pivetta. I'm not ready to trust him yet.
Agreed.
Estrada at Gausman.
I'll start Estrada.
Yeah.
I want to see more from Gausman when things go bad for him. And, you know, he didn't use the splitter much in the first start.
Starter sit. Tanaka and David Price.
Start both.
Yeah.
Price, terrible history against the Yankees. Wheeler and Jaime Garcia. Oh, no. Jarlin Garcia. My bad.
Sit.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah, both.
Stephen Brault and John Lester.
Start Lester.
Sure.
Angels rookie Jaime Barria at Matt Moore.
Sit both.
Daniel Mengman at Alex Wood.
Start Woods, sit Mengman.
That's going to do it for today's show. We...
Come on, dog.
Good try, Scott White.
Bark.
Good try.
No, he's a good boy.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We know much about fantasy baseball, and I know this much. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.